You're listening to Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Join in the conversation on our Facebook page or on Twitter. And be sure to like and follow us for more great Catholic content. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Real Presence Live. This is Father Richard Kuntz along with
Cindy Jennings.
Coming to you from the Diocese of Duluth, the most beautiful diocese in the state of Minnesota and probably the whole listening area. And we are joined, well, before I actually go to our next guest, actually, at the end of Straight Talk, we had another question that came in. It's kind of a little tidbit, and I'll make it really quick. Hannah from St. Paul. We have listeners down in St. Paul. This is great. What is Father's current newest thing he has discovered about the church? I don't know if I discovered this, but it just kind of came back into my focus just recently, is that, you know, up until recently, popes used to go into the catacombs, take bodies out, and put them in churches, to put the relics in churches, so that they didn't stay in the catacombs. And so I knew that from a long time ago, but it's just something I was just reading about recently.
Yeah, I just heard something about
that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So funny.
Yeah. Anyhow.
It's funny that you say
that. How do you like that, Hannah? That's a little tidbit of interesting information. Okay, so now we have Richard Carrick here. Richard, I like your name.
It's a great name.
And I like that you're wearing black.
I try to emulate you.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. So welcome to Real Presence Live, and why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself to get started.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me on, first of all. It's great to be with you this morning. I am the director of music at the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Rosary in Duluth, but also a professor of music at the College of St. Scholastica. And on my free time, I also am one of the founders and conductors of Borealis Chamber Artists.
Oh, wow.
What is Borealis Chamber?
It's a new professional music ensemble in the Twin Ports. We just finished our wrapping up our first season. And so it's a group of musicians, local and regional, that come together for project-based performances. So we just come together for 1 week and rehearse and then put on a concert.
And where are the concerts normally?
Either at the cathedral or other churches in the area, or sometimes next season we'll be at Weber Music Hall and some other local performing venues.
So orchestra type of instruments?
Both choir and orchestra.
Okay, all right, okay. Are you from Duluth originally?
I am not. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. Moved to Minneapolis over a decade ago when my wife got her doctorate at the University of Minnesota. And then when I got my doctorate, we got the job offer up here. And we moved to Duluth, and we've just been loving it. It's a great place to raise kids and have a family.
How many kids you got?
We got two kids, seven and five.
Okay, all right. No, that's great. So how long have you been in Duluth for?
This is finishing year three.
Okay, all right. So did you get the job offer primarily through the cathedral?
No, actually. At first I got hired at the College of St. Scholastica. Okay. And then that at the end of that year, Jenny Campbell was moving to Michigan, and I interviewed for the position.
I didn't know. She left.
So are you still at Scholastica?
I am. I do both,
okay,
both
right.
things.
Oh, fine.
So what was the inspiration of this Borealis?
Yeah, so we did a group project and did... What was the piece? It was a four-hour requiem mass, and we had one rehearsal and one concert, and a bunch of us said, you know, this was really fun. We would love to do more projects like this, because we're all busy musicians. We don't really get a chance all the time to do these bigger works, and so we decided to form a nonprofit organization and with a mission of bringing more of these types of projects to our area.
So, I mean, how many people are involved? How many people do you normally get that are...
It depends on the project. So for this upcoming project, we're going to have 18 singers. We normally have between 16 and 20 singers, and if we're using an orchestra, 16 to 20 orchestral players as
well.
And
you said you just started this like a year ago?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So how many shows have you had so far total?
We've had... last spring we did... three pieces from the Baroque area. This last fall we did Durafle's Requiem, which is just a gorgeous piece. We did that at First Lutheran Church with the Jekyll organ.
Oh, that's right. They have a big organ there.
Really great organ. That's the only organ in town that can handle that piece. So that was a beautiful concert. And then we did Handel's Messiah at the Cathedral in December. We just did a small project called A Sweet Bird, another piece by Handel at Pilgrim Congregational Church, and now we're doing Path of Miracles coming up at the cathedral.
So one thing I find interesting when we talk about classic music of this sort is that so much of it is based on the Eucharist.
Absolutely.
When we talk about Requiem, well, what are we talking about? We're talking about a Mass.
That's right.
And so it's like, maybe, I don't know if you're prepared to this, I didn't look at the talking points here too closely, but Speak a little bit about the how the faith has inspired this stuff.
Well, the church has been the primary sponsor of music and art for the last several thousand years. And we would not have the documentation of our Western music history if it weren't for the Catholic Church.
Right.
And so not only because they were hiring musicians to compose this music for services like Requiem Masses or Masses, but then they archived it and were stewards of the sheet music.
Yeah, the church was excellent at record keeping that way.
Exactly. And for most of history, composers didn't think ever about themselves, about their legacy. They never thought that the music would live beyond themselves, so they would have no inspiration to archive their own music.
Right.
And but so if it weren't for the church, all of this music for over a thousand years would be lost.
So if you're going to these other, say you said Pilgrim Congregational, have you done a requiem there? Or have you done?
We didn't do a requiem there. But
even like I mean, it's just the irony of going to a Protestant church and doing a mass.
Sure.
You know, the music for the mass. I mean, it's like,
yeah, it's been interesting throughout history because a lot of this liturgical music is no longer doesn't meet today's lectionary standards,
right?
And so the only place to do the music is either as special, it doesn't function liturgically anymore.
Right, not anymore.
And so you have to either do it in a concert version or in a as like special music within the mass, right? So you don't do it from start to finish like it would have been done throughout history. However, I also think it speaks to the universal draw that the Eucharist has, whether people are aware of it or not.
Right. Yeah. So what is your favorite Johnny Cash song of all time?
This is a tough one because I'm not. I like Johnny Cash. I've seen the movie, but I'm not.
All right, come
on,
Richard.
I'm not
Richard,
a buff.
You're going to start losing points here.
I'm sorry. The one that comes to mind is Ring of Fire because it's.
I'm with you. I love Ring of Fire as well.
That's good. I at least I could name one, right?
Yeah, I know, right? You're like just scrambling to get one. I don't know if I like it, but it's the one I remember.
I do like it.
I'm talking to a guy that's into classical music about Johnny Cash. So this is great. I love this. So what do you have coming up is the Path of Miracles. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this is actually the piece that I wrote my doctoral dissertation on.
Really? So who did this piece?
It was composed by a composer named Joby Talbot. He's a living British composer. And it was commissioned by a group called Tenebrae, meaning shadows or darkness. And it's a professional choir in London.
So you did your doctorate on this?
I did. So I wrote a 300-page book on this one piece.
Is this guy, he's still alive? Does he know that you did a doctorate?
Yes, I interviewed him, and he and I have become friends.
I'm sure he was quite thrilled.
This is actually, I think, was the third dissertation on his piece, but I think it's the best one, you know?
Oh, of course. Sure.
So it's an incredible piece of music that emulates the Camino de Santiago pilgrimage.
Yeah. The Camino. Right.
And specifically, this one emulates, there's many roads to Santiago de Compostela, right? So people throughout history have come from all over Europe and made their way to Santiago de Compostela. This particular route is the Camino Frances, which goes across northern Spain, starting in, many people gather in Roncesvalles in the Pyrenees, and then it's about 500-mile walk to Santiago de Compostela, and then many would continue on from there to Finisterre, and it's called that because at one point it was believed to be the end of the world, Finis.
Okay.
It's Terra, Earth, so end of the Earth.
Mm-hmm. So did you walk the Camino to make this
thesis? It was supposed to be part of the thing, but this was written during COVID, so it was all plans got derailed then. But it is on my list, a short list.
So, I mean, what drew you to this Path of Miracles thing? I mean, it was obviously just the beauty of it, I suspect, right?
It was a piece that grabbed my attention. The first time I heard it, I'd never heard anything like it. It's an hour-long a cappella choral work, so just voices. There is a couple of percussion instruments that come in at different points. But it starts out with this Eastern Taiwanese tribal ritual called the Pasiputput, which is this glissandoing, so like scooping into notes from a really low, and it just creates this ethereal effect with lots of overtones and it just was the most different sound I've ever heard. And then the storytelling of the piece, right? You could feel yourself as a listener being taken along this pilgrimage. It felt like you went on this journey with the singers.
I don't really have a question, but I have two kids that sing, and I really want them to be you. It's like, I keep telling them, I'm like, you have a gift. You don't need to be like a pop star. I don't want that. But I want you to sing for Christ. I want you to
use the gift that you have. From time to time.
Yeah, but I kind of make them. I don't know if that's a good thing.
Have you ever heard of Anonymous Four?
Yes, of course.
What do you think of them?
They're incredible.
Are they still recording?
They are, as far as I know, yes.
So I got a number of their pieces. I'm not like a classical music guy. I'm a classic country music guy.
Yeah.
So, but I have some, you know, just background praying, reading
of course,
of music.
Of course. And I thought it was really interesting. It was in the, I think, the 90s that a Gregorian chant album hit.
Oh, yeah,
like
I remember that. Hit number one. It was huge.
Yeah. So there's something about a cappella singing, chanting that has universal appeal. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's been around for thousands of years.
Yeah. So we're talking to Richard Carrick of the Borealis Chamber Artists here in Duluth, and we're going to continue this conversation after this brief break. Please stay with us.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Daily Meditations of Pope Benedict XVI, presented by Leonardo DeFilippis of St. Luke Productions.
Faith as meeting. One has never achieved complete faith. Faith has to be lived again and again in life and in suffering, as well as in the great joys that God sends us. It is never something that I can put in my pocket like a coin. The essence of faith is that I do not meet with something that has been thought up, but that here something meets me that is greater than anything we can think of ourselves. The Christian faith brings us consolation that God is so great that he can become small, and that he is actually for me the unexpected and previously inconceivable greatness of God, that he is able to bow down so low. That he himself really enters into a man, no longer merely disguises himself in him so that he can later put him aside and put on another garment, but that he becomes this man. It is just in this that we actually see the truly infinite nature of God. For this is more powerful, more inconceivable than anything else, and at the same time more saving. This very God, who has the power to realize love in such a way that he himself is present in a man, that he is there and introduces himself to us, that he associates himself with us, is exactly what we need in order to escape from having to live to the end with fragments and half-truths.
This meditation is taken from Benedictus, published by Ignatius Press and Magnificat, and produced by St. Luke Productions. Learn more at stlukeproductions.com.
This is Real Presence Live on the RPR Network, bringing you stories of faith and hope through local hosts and guests from across the Upper Midwest. Now, back to the show.
Thanks for staying with us. This is Father Richard Kuntz, along with Cindy Jennings, coming to you from the Diocese of Duluth, Real Presence Live edition, Diocese of Duluth. And we're talking to Richard Carrick of the Borealis Chamber Artists. I almost said that wrong. So, Richard, tell us, you know, right before the break, we were talking a little bit about the Camino and a lot of people don't know what that even is. And so maybe speak a little bit to what the Camino is, Santiago and Compostela, and then how that jives with the music piece.
Absolutely. So, the Camino de Santiago is a pilgrimage route to Santiago de Compostela, Spain. And why is there a pilgrimage route to begin with? Well, because St. James the Great, after the crucifixion and resurrection, went to evangelize in the Iberian Peninsula. Yeah. And so he was the first evangelist to go to the Galician region, which is northern Spain, where he was largely rejected by the people, and he returned to Jerusalem, where he was promptly beheaded by King Herod, became a martyr. And the miracle and the legend has it that his disciples, James's disciples, asked for his body to be buried in a tomb, and then the rock of the tomb became a boat that translated his body back to Spain.
Right.
And where his burial site was lost for 800 years. And then there was a star, much like the star over Bethlehem, that led a hermit named Pelayo to this field, and where his body was in remains were discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And so the name Sant Iago means Saint James, and de Compostela, the field of stars, field of the star.
Right.
So the field of the star that Pelayo saw, Saint James, and so a cathedral was built there.
He's also known as the Moor Slayer, but we won't talk about that right now. So but you know, I mean, have you you didn't walk the Camino, but have you been to Santiago?
I have not.
Okay, yeah,
just,
so I was
just
there
through
once.
Books. Just
yeah, I went there once. You go out, you hug the statue of St. James when you get there.
That's right.
So I actually did that once.
And they have the incensor that swings
yeah.
from the...
Like, I didn't see that. You don't want to get in the way of that incense. It's like the biggest thurible in the world.
That's right.
Yeah. So, okay, so again, get back to the... Connect that to your music.
Yes, and so in the 12th century, Pope Calixtus wanted to bring more awareness of this pilgrimage route, and so he published a travel guide, like a 12th century Rick Steves travel guide to Santiago de Compostela, which...
Was that Calixtus II?
I believe that's probably right.
I think so. No. This is my area. I'm a travel guy.
Yes, thank you.
Calixtus III would have been later.
Yes.
But anyhow, so go ahead.
No, that's great. So he sponsored this travel guide, which told pilgrims not only where to avoid robbers, where were safe places to stay, where water was poisoned, but also had... hymns to sing along the way, and it contained some of the earliest excerpts of polyphonic, meaning more than one voice, music in music history. Once again, the church preserving mm-hmm. these compositions. And so anyway, the piece emulates this pilgrimage going from the Pyrenees, Roncesvalles, to the next movement is called Burgos, which is another big cathedral town, and then the next movement is León, and then the fourth mm-hmm. movement is Santiago. It's called Santiago. So four big stations that these pilgrims would travel through, and still today travel through along their pilgrimage route. And it's so well crafted. The music is so beautiful, and so there's so much text painting, so bringing the meaning of the words into the aural experience for the listener. So, for example, in the first movement, Roncesvalles, he uses eight different languages. And so the idea being that along this pilgrimage route, you're going to encounter people from all over the world that are doing the same pilgrimage as you. So you hear it in the same text in Latin, in Greek, in Galician, in French, in Basque, in German, in Spanish. I think I forgot one. But so you hear all these different languages. And the idea being that a lot of these pilgrims throughout history, maybe this was the only time they ever left their homes.
Yeah.
And so this was something they would do at the end of their lives. And they maybe even never heard another language. And so it's kind of this disorienting experience to hear all these different languages singing simultaneously, overlapping, all telling the same story.
Yeah.
That's the first movement. And then you quickly become tired as you're
right.
walking this journey. And so movement two is inspired by the Cathedral Burgos, which is this gorgeous but heavily ornate, lots of relics, Baroque inspired cathedral. So it's a little darker. And so the composer writes the musical manifestation of blisters. So you hear lots of dissonance in the harmonies, but then also lots of meter rubbing. So like three against two. So this is just it just feels like rhythm. Like your feet are getting blisters from all the rubbing that you're going and there's tired. You're
One
tired.
Thing I like. So I was really when I was in the major seminary, I really kind of got into the classical music kind of and the choral part. The stuff that I've always loved is the real deep baritones.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the best. I mean, do you have some of that?
This piece has the lowest notes for bass that I've ever experienced. It has, and I'm actually having to fly in two guys because there's nobody in the
really?
Area that can sing these low notes. It's a low B flat. So just, it's about as low as you can go.
You got to get an Oak Ridge boy for
this
that.
This goes back to Johnny Cash.
Oak Ridge boys.
Yeah, exactly. So super low, really intense. It's incredible.
So what stage does that come? Does that come after the rubbing?
You hear it throughout, but yeah, so... And you hear the pilgrims praying in Latin, like all these intercessory prayers, all of these prayers to St. James. So Border Ghost is you're hearing the stories of the miracles of St. James, but all of the kind of the horror stories.
So excuse my ignorance, but this is the piece we're talking about is the one that you did your doctoral thesis.
That's right.
On. So the guy that's still alive.
Yes, that's
okay,
right.
So can you get like? I mean, we're going to talk about the concert here in a little bit, but is there a way of getting that on CD or something?
Absolutely. There are two recordings, one by Tenebrae and one by Conspirare. Both are great, and I would highly recommend people take a listen before. They're beautiful recordings.
Okay, so you're a professional musician, Duluth. I mean, we have a lot of great musicians here in Duluth. Do we, in the concerts you've done thus far, are they satisfactory from your perspective in regards to how the music is done here?
Absolutely. I mean, we have world-class musicians here. Yeah. I've been so incredibly, incredibly satisfied and lucky to get to work with these people.
We've got, actually, he's going to be on my short list. He doesn't know it yet, but one of our keyboardists here in the parish is a virtuoso, Tom Wegern. Does that name mean anything to you?
I haven't worked with him or met him, but I know the name.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I don't. Incredible.
He's good.
Yeah. And so I know I want him on the air because he's done church music as long as I've been a priest. It seems like
cool.
He's always been in my parishes. But it's good to hear that because it's like if we're going to have these concerts in Duluth, we want to do it right.
Absolutely.
Right? So why don't you speak a little bit more about these concerts and how people can learn more about them?
Yeah. So. This is part of the Cathedral Music Series. So this is a new series that I started. It's actually Father Tony, a little over a year ago, came up with the idea of having a music series. Once again, the Catholic Church being a place that is supposed to foster the arts, and especially cathedrals being places where arts are sponsored. And so he really wanted to keep up with that tradition. So we started this music series, which has been wonderful. So we bring in different pieces from different ensembles from throughout, either locally or people that are coming through with their college choirs or something that aligns with.
Is this like a free will offering? How do you do that?
Yeah, yeah. So it's you can go to the cathedral website and see the details, DuluthCatholic.org, and you can find.
But you guys all don't have details. You guys don't have a specific website.
No. BorealisChamberArtist.com does have a specific website as well.
Okay.
So for this concert, this is May 17th and 18th, Friday and Saturday evening at 7 p.m. $10 suggested donation. You can reserve tickets through the Borealis website, so BorealisChamberArtist.com, you can donate online, or you can just show up and donate at the door, or show up, and if you can't give anything, we would just be so glad to have you there to experience this concert. This is something that we have been working really hard on, and we just want to share it with
you. Have you been having good turnouts at these concerts?
We have, yeah. We had about 400 or 500 people for Messiah, so ranging from 100 to 400, 500 people.
Okay. Do you guys do anything online? Like, will the concert be online?
Yeah, so we will live stream the event on Saturday night, and then that will be archived on the cathedral's YouTube page as well.
And tell us the dates again and the time.
Yeah, May 17th and 18th at 7 p.m.
Okay, at the cathedral here in Duluth.
Yes, yep.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so, I mean, do you already have plans on the next thing that you're going to? I know you haven't even done this one yet, but in the last few minutes that we have.
Yeah, so we're working on next season's. We're definitely going to do another Messiah next December.
Okay, Christmas time is a big seller,
exactly.
I'm sure.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just and since I've been here, no one's been doing it, so we want to bring it to our community. It's important for us. So,
right.
So that's for sure happening, and people can come to the cathedral website for the music series and get constant updates as that gets developed this summer, and then also Borealis' website.
Do you find the acoustics good at the cathedral compared to like other places, or?
Yeah, it's a really great balance because there's a nice amount of reverberation, so you get that feedback, but it's not so long that it becomes hard to hear. So it's a great place to hear classical music.
All right. And that is important. You know, I mean, when I came here to St. James, there's like a 4.1 second echo. And
yeah.
We had to do a lot of acoustical treatment to actually bring that down to make it appropriate. So I know that the acoustics of a concert like you guys are putting on is of the utmost importance.
Yeah, and the piece was, this Path of Miracles was composed with cathedral spaces in mind, right? So it's actually it's meant to be performed in these spaces, and it's also really cool because we use the space in interesting ways. It's not just standing in one location. Members of the choir will move to different locations throughout the concert. It's not like choreography dancing, but it's just, you know, once again emulating that pilgrimage where there's some walking and some motion and some clever uses. I won't give away some of the surprises, but it'll be a cool use of space.
So I'm really interested, especially when we're talking about the bass. If I were to go to your website and find out what you're doing next, I can just look up the piece's name and then find the CD if I want.
That's right. It's on Spotify, any streaming service.
I actually have CD. I'm old fashioned.
I have a CD. Yes, you can buy a CD as well. Yeah, absolutely.
So Richard, any last thoughts? We got about a minute left.
Yeah, I just think that this piece, I love it. I've spent so much of my life studying this, and I'm so excited to share this with our community. It is appealing to all audience members, right? It's a classical choral music concert, but the composer also spent time writing in rock bands in England, and so there's lots of appealing elements, beautiful melodies, beautiful harmonies. It's just it's very accessible music. So
that's great. Great success. Hope you have great success for this, especially this next coming concert. And thank you very much for being on with us.
Yeah,
Richard.
Thanks for having me on. It's great to be with you today.
All right. God bless. We're gonna go to a quick break here. Stick with us. We have one final guest of the show, Lori Beisel, who's the archivist in the Diocese of Duluth. We'll stick with us after this break.
Stay with us. There's more Real Presence Live to come on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Let us run to Mary, and as her little children, cast ourselves in her arms with a perfect confidence. St. Francis de Sales. Join together with families across the local area for the Rosary, nightly here on Real Presence Radio. On Wednesday through Monday nights, tune in at 8 p.m. Central, and on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Central. Gather the whole family together and pray this powerful prayer with us. Join us for the Rosary, Wednesday through Monday at 8 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central here on the RPR Network.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says that when we forgive from the heart, we are transformed and we become more like Jesus. It is not in our power not to feel or to forget an offense, but the heart that offers itself to the Holy Spirit turns injury into compassion and purifies the memory in transforming the hurt into intercession. Holding on to unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. Ultimately, we are the ones who suffer the most. We have been forgiven through our baptism and continue to be forgiven through the sacrament of penance. Through conversation with the beloved, the sacraments, and life in the Holy Spirit, may we be given the grace to forgive our transgressors, just as Jesus taught us.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Did you know you can listen to Real Presence Live anytime on any podcast platform? Just search for Real Presence Radio on platforms such as Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and on the Real Presence Radio website. Then subscribe so you don't miss any future shows. If you like what you hear, give us a good rating so other people can find us as well. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope.